From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio. Today on the show, as we've done throughout football season, we're going to talk with Jeffrey Wright. Picks may be done until bowl time, but Jeffrey still has opinions. I know you're shocked as we get into this Thursday morning. The podcast brought to you in part by the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford. The holiday season is ongoing, and you let the Oxford Exxon smoke your ham or your turkey for as little as $15. Also, when you go in, you get the ribs, wet or dry. You get lunch specials, $4.99, two sides of bread, 32-ounce drink, 49-cent bottomless refills at all Blue Sky locations, and more there on Highway 6 West. And again, we're coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio.
We are. Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900 is the number. You call that number, you ask for our friend Corey Clark. You tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for, and he's going to send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. Everybody doesn't think that's how this works. They're like, what really happens? That's what really happens. He sends you a quote. There's no haggling. It's right to the bottom line. And then it's up to you. You can shop that quote. That's your right. It's your prerogative. Go for it. Or you can go ahead and let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many other listeners of our family of podcasts, and that's take the hassle out of the car buying experience. We'll make it even better at the end of the deal, right before you finalize terms. Say, hey, Corey, heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You can mention this podcast. You can mention the Soft Verbal podcast presented by Billy's Pecans. Or you can mention the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. Any of the above. $500 off the bottom line on your deal at Clark Ford and Amory. 662-257-1900.
Decent news in the recruiting world. Damian Craig following Jimbo Fisher to A&M, leaving
that.
Auburn.
Saw that.
He's a good coach.
Yes, very good recruiter.
Yeah, he's not bad at all on the recruiting front. So
let me break some news to you.
Uh huh.
It's gonna shock you. It's a hot take. So put on your mitts.
Yep.
The Texas A&M recruiting machine getting ready to get cranked up.
You're telling me that they are going to be committed to the process in College Station?
I am telling you that they are going to make a commitment to recruiting that will be quite similar to the one that Georgia made in the last 2 years.
Really, it's about evaluation, about a lot of film watching, about getting in there early, offering a lot of earlier kids. It's about relationships with coaches and parents.
You know, there's a couple of fascinating figures in American history. Ben Franklin.
He is.
Alexander Hamilton, to a lesser degree. Fascinating.
Okay.
Now I can think of 20 reasons right off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Grant, still on the 50.
When's the last time you carried a $50 bill?
I don't know. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Is it Grant, though?
Yeah, it sounds like it seems like Grant, yeah.
A lot of influential figures in history.
Just saying.
I was thinking about that. I was just thinking about Ben Franklin. I know that the Army-Navy game is in Philadelphia this weekend. And I was just thinking about Benjamin Franklin. Had nothing to do with money or Georgia or Texas A&M.
Yeah, Grant's on the 50.
Grant's on the 50.
It's a good picture of him on the 50.
Let's see. Kind of a rough, tough-looking guy. Which is what you'd expect.
He was a general.
Military general.
Civil
yeah.
War. I mean, you probably have to have a little bit of authority there in that role. So
I would think. I would think. Probably had some interesting conversations with President Lincoln.
Grant has a very interesting backstory. I heard a historian talking about it the other day about how he was sort of a middle of his class at West Point, just kind of an average dude, and then kind of started moving up the ranks and things. He's fairly interesting as a figure in history.
I've never really read much about him.
Yeah, he kind of gets lost in the hey, should you know what bio should you read? What should you do? I mean, Because a lot of people, you know, try to read a presidential bio for every president. That's like a thing, bucket list for a lot of people that are into that sort of thing. And they always start with one. Well, takes a little while to get to Grant, and by that time, most people have kind of flamed out on that resolution. Yeah, so you almost want to go in reverse to switch it up a little bit. Start in the middle.
Just pick, like, number 24.
Like 16, and then go 15, 17, 14,
Pierce
18.
Pierce or Polk or somebody.
Yeah. I'm really interested in Calvin Coolidge today. What has he done? That kind of thing. Because, I mean, everybody has Washington, you know, Theodore Roosevelt. That's the ones everybody goes, hey, I got to read this one, and then, you know. Nobody starts with John Quincy Adams.
It's true.
Not even the first John Adams that gets read. So.
And you have to be a fascinating person to become the president of the United States.
Thanks. Good.
Yeah.
Good. You're on it today. I'm proud of you.
Hot takes.
Your fourth cup of coffee?
It's my third.
If you just buy a regular coffee pot, you'd save like $8 this morning.
Yeah, believe me, these conversations have occurred in the house.
Are you overruled?
No, I don't think it's
it's routine.
I think it's just change for change's sake.
Well, no, it's not change for change's sake. It's change for dollar's sake.
Yeah,
speaking of the
change.
50 and the 20.
It's just change. Yeah.
It's positive change.
By the way, I'm gonna let you in on a little secret.
Okay.
Everybody,
please
out
talk
there,
in the microphone. Thank you.
Everybody out there, I was moving my coffee over there. I need to get the headset thing.
Yeah, because you do a really have such an extensive radio career. You suck at speaking into the microphone.
I'd love to argue with you, but
as
I know
someone,
you're right.
Well, no, it's worse now because we switched to SoundCloud on our host site.
Yeah.
And when you
fault is that?
Podbean's fault, actually. But when you pull up the embed player, it gives you the audio levels all the way through the podcast, and there'll be three or four spots where it just falls off for like 20 seconds, and it's because Neil is reading something on his computer while he does this and comes back and back and back. And as someone on the board said, can we tape the microphone to his head? And, you know, since he doesn't have hair, that is possible. We probably, because it wouldn't hurt as much when he pulled it off.
It wouldn't hurt much at all. Could
do that. So anyway, go ahead.
So a few years ago, we got a swimming pool.
Yeah.
It was fun. It's exciting. The kids were little. They couldn't wait to get in the pool.
Okay.
Couldn't wait. It was awesome.
Okay.
A few years later, the kids are older.
Yeah.
The pool's not nearly as exciting as it once was. And I'm going to tell you what the damn thing is now. It is a money pit.
What does that have to do with a Keurig or a full-size coffee
machine?
Nothing.
I was just thinking about bills and stuff that comes up unexpectedly.
That's anything, though. I mean, you're walking Gus more than you had to when he was a puppy and the kids liked him. Everything fades for kids and just over time. That's what it is.
That's true. We have that fight a lot where I'm the one walking both dogs and I'm like, we had this conversation.
Yeah, it's your dog.
Yeah. Gus is Laura's and Rizzo's mine. That's quickly where
really?
This that. Yeah, when Gus likes me, too.
You still occupy him more than anyone else.
I do. He spends more time with me than he does anyone else.
Yeah.
I'm the dude.
Yeah.
He respects me more than he respects the others.
Think so.
If I raise my voice.
He stops.
If I raise my voice, he stops, looks like, okay, I got to listen to what the bald dude is saying.
Yeah. This will end better for me if I just chill.
He's not happy right now, and I need to change.
Rizzo's not old enough to know the difference yet.
Not yet. No. Not yet.
He's just running wild.
It's just his world. We're all living in it right now. His world and Jimmy Sexton's world right now. That's whose world.
That's his world.
We owe Sexton. I think rent is due on the 11th each month.
It's good to be Rizzo, and it's good to be Jimmy Sexton.
It is good to be a well-loved Labrador Retriever puppy. There's no question about that, and it is damn good to be Jimmy Sexton.
I mentioned this with Jeffrey in a bit on the show because we've already taped that part of the interview or that part of the podcast. Sexton has 11 of the 14 SEC head coaches currently.
That's a lot.
It's becoming a bit of a monopoly, yes.
Who does he not represent?
I don't know. Off the
Moorhead.
Top of my head, I'm going to go Moorhead, Odom.
Does he have Stoops?
Does he have Ed?
I think he does have Ed.
Okay. I assumed he had Stoops, but I don't know that. He's got Smart, he's got Saban, he's got Mullen, he's got Matt.
He's got Pruitt.
He's got Pruitt. He's got Morris. He's got Jimbo.
He has Jimbo. He doesn't have Mason.
That's who it is? Okay. So our guesses are Moorhead, Odom, and Mason. That would be my guess if you made me pick.
I think you're right. I'm trying to think if I'm missing somebody. I think that's right.
And if you told me we're wrong on one, I think we're wrong on Stoops. No, we said we had it Stoops. Never mind.
You said we had Stoops.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
If you told me we had it mixed up and that he did represent Odom and didn't represent Stoops, I'd go, oh, okay.
Okay.
Mark Stoops didn't do anything. 7-5, and he's set.
At Kentucky, you're just trying to occupy them until basketball season. Keep it interesting until the Cats tip off the season.
Well, they're in a bowl game.
Yeah. Play with Northwestern, your boys.
That's right. That's in Nashville.
It is. You're not going. You keep talking about that. You are not going.
I would like to go.
That's the thing that on December the 7th or whatever today is, it sounds great. And then the day before, you go, what am I doing? No.
Well, and the problem is that Nashville's such a New Year's Eve destination.
Is it on New Year's Eve?
I think so.
It's the 30th or the 31st, if I have that right.
See, I'd like to go see Northwestern play. I'd cheer for the Wildcats. Wildcats are going to win the Music City Bowl.
You're picking them?
Wildcats are going to win the Music City Bowl.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, good point. How are we doing that, by the way? Are we keeping the same format? Are we doing some weird thing? Are we changing it up? Are we just going, like, what are we doing?
I'm not exactly sure.
Okay.
The game, it's on December 29th.
Okay.
At 3:30 in the afternoon. That's not terrible.
You're not going
to
go.
Go to the game, grab some dinner, get up the next day, come home.
You're not going to go.
I don't know.
You're not going to go.
Thinking about it.
If you lose our bet with the pick'em, do you want to go to the Big Ten tournament and cheer for Northwestern?
Well, that wouldn't even be a punishment.
You'd actually kind of like to be there. Because they're kind of good, too, aren't
they?
They're
good, and they have Chris Collins.
Yeah, sure.
But, I mean, if you'd like to send me to the Big Ten tournament, where's the Big Ten basketball tournament this year?
That's not fair. Never mind. Got to send you some. Where would be unseasonably warm for that time of year and then still have a crap conference?
Suck. Let's see where this is. Big Ten tournament.
Mike, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. Big Ten tournament this year is. Oh, yeah. Please send me to this. It's at Madison Square Garden. I'm in.
Go Cats
in the big city.
The Big Ten tournament's in New York?
Yeah, if that's going to be the punishment, I'm going.
Why is the Big Ten tournament in New York? They throw Rutgers a favor? What are we doing?
Yeah, Rutgers.
Maryland, sort of.
And it's early, too. Listen to this. It's February 28th through March the 4th.
No. You're going to have spring football to cover. I'm sorry.
Oh, God. There's nothing worse in our
we need to send
year.
You to like wherever Bakersfield's, whatever their conference is out in California, because it might be hot. You get to spend a week in late February cheering for.
Is there anything you hate covering worse than spring football? From a pure just hate covering it. I know fans like spring. Spring football's everyone hates it.
No.
There's nothing I hate more.
I'm trying to think. No.
No, me neither. No.
Because I was going to like pick on a smaller sport, but those are kind of entertaining,
no,
frankly.
Those are great.
There.
From a coverage standpoint, those are great.
Yeah. You get whatever you want. It's fine. They don't overthink the food. They just have pizza or chicken strips.
Yeah, just, hey, I'd like to talk to so-and-so. Okay.
Right away.
And usually they're like excited to almost talk to you because they hadn't talked to anybody in the media. Not excited, but they're like nervous kind of. And it's like, okay, so we have a conversation. I get some stuff. If I need, hey, I want to talk to your brother or whatever, I get that number. In football, it's just locked down. And then in spring, we'll do these interviews in spring football. It drives me nuts. We're talking to some guy that's competing for the backup something job. And it's 11 minutes. Are you getting bigger? How much bigger are you? What are you doing? It's like, oh my God. I know there's an audience that cares.
You're not big on minutia.
No.
You don't like minutia.
I was talking to Ben Craddock yesterday.
Okay.
And I'm right on this. I'm not wrong. I'm right. We were talking about off-season stories where people do the strength and conditioning program stories. I had to do one of those when I was in Auburn. Did this big Kevin Yaksall story. Remember him?
No.
Okay. That's kind of my point. And, oh, man, he'd come in. He'd changed Auburn's strength and conditioning program. Changed it. Wrote this big story. Everybody's getting bigger. Everybody's getting stronger. And then during the season, they get their butt kicked, and everybody makes fun of those stories. I said, I'm not doing them again. And I haven't. And I won't. Because football and most sports are in the scoreboard business. You have eyes. You can watch the game on TV. You can watch the game in person. And you can tell who's winning the physical battle in almost every game.
Have you ever written one of those stories and it had any significance?
No. It's just numbers.
One.
Which one?
When Ben Fleming was hired as the baseball strength guy. It was the first time Ole Miss had hired a baseball-specific strength guy.
See, that's different.
And it was a, hey, you can't just train these dudes for – like, if you had a football guy, it's like, hey, train these guys for 7 Saturdays, 12 Saturdays. And Ben's like, no, you have to train them for a marathon. Injuries in baseball are stress injuries, monotony, over and over and over again. He cured the shin splints they'd kept having problems with because he was sidelining multiple dudes with shin splints the year before. Kind of fixed that. But that's a different story. Yeah, yeah. That's a, hey, you're doing something wrong because you don't have an expertise in this sport.
Every football team, we always do this joke about media days. Every football team at media days, we got bigger, we got stronger, had a great offseason.
The new strength coach is always better than the previous strength coach, and the old strength coach sucks.
The old strength coach was an idiot.
The new guy, though.
He was a genius while he was here, but he's an idiot now. But now this guy is revolutionizing strength and conditioning. My attitude is, you're going to play games. I'm going to see it on the field. I'll wait. It's not great for content in July, but I'm going to wait till October. And this is where the story's better. If in October, guys who a year ago were getting beat at the line of scrimmage are suddenly winning the line of scrimmage, well, that's when I kind of want to talk to the strength and conditioning coach. He looks like he got bigger. He looks like he got stronger. How'd you do it?
We're discussing all this right now because not much really happened yesterday. Ed Orgeron flew into Batesville night before last. He spent about 12 hours in town. Russell said that he had confirmed he was not at South Panola. My hunch is that he talked to some players, might have talked to Hugh Freeze. I don't have that one way or the other. Anyway, he was here. He was at least a little more subtle than Jim. He did park in Batesville instead of Oxford. But
okay, so there's a rumor, and I've yet to see it anywhere.
Okay,
that's Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference.
He is
basically put his foot down and said no one's transferring inside the league.
We'll see.
Is that accurate?
I don't know. If no one transfers inside the league, it was accurate because they would have otherwise.
Okay.
You disagree?
Well, no, I had to think for a minute, but you're right.
Somebody would have gone somewhere.
Well, Street would have gone to Auburn.
I get. Would they take him?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Bryce Matthews came out yesterday and said he is not going anywhere. He tweeted out that the Michigan interest was false. Everybody's kind of had a comment that was on that list for the most part, other than Greg Little. He finished that tweet, as we mentioned yesterday, with Hottie Toddy, but that's all anybody's really heard from Greg. Context here, people. Context. 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 I have no idea what Greg Little's doing one way or the other. I'm hearing that Greg Little is telling everyone that everything's fine and he will be an Ole Miss Rebel next season.
As of last night, he had not asked for a
contact thing. 9 o'clock last night or whatever it was when I put that up, no one yesterday asked for permission to contact letters. I don't know today. It's 8:50. It's 9 o'clock.
It's 9:10, Chase.
Is it? Okay. Well, I don't have a computer up.
Well?
So, no one last night had asked for them yesterday. I was told, however, that, again, context. Should Greg ask for one at some point, he most likely would do that once he was out of town. He has a little different personality. He would want to get away. He would not want to do it while he's surrounded by teammates and all those things. Again, if. But that was what I was told. So
you were saying that Greg Little is asking for a contact letter.
And he'll do it once he gets
home.
Home.
That's you're reporting?
That's exactly right. You can tweet it everywhere. So that's all we know today. We'll continue to follow. It is what it is. I think today or tomorrow, because he likes being likes grandstanding a little bit. I think Tom Mars will throw something out there today or tomorrow. My guess is that he throws out there that he's working with the Pattersons. It's my guess, because he is. But that's my guess.
But that's a fun conversation. Sean Senior and Tom Mars.
Yeah. I don't know. I have a hunch that might be his next thing, because he's going to have a next thing.
So I saw Tom Mars as one of his responses to somebody in an email.
Yeah. Do you agree with his television favorites?
They were okay.
Okay.
Designated Survivor is a sneaky good show.
It's for network television, pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with it.
24 was really good for 3 or 4 seasons back in the day.
It was.
He has a thing for Kiefer Sutherland, obviously, but...
Well, Kiefer Sutherland is... Kiefer Sutherland is Chili's.
Extremely palatable.
He's Outback Steakhouse. You know what I mean? You go to Outback. How many times have you been to Outback and you walked out of there going, God, that was horrible?
No, he never mails it in. He's showing up.
Going to be there. It's going to be solid. It's not going to be spectacular. But it's not going to be awful.
John Hamm's kind of in that category from an actor standpoint.
Yeah.
Going to come to work every day. Going to show up.
Yeah.
Going to play Don Draper today. We're going to do it.
Yeah. Going to be solid.
Yeah.
Probably not going to win the Oscar. Not going to do something that moves you. But you're never going to walk out of there going, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
So what I was going to say about Mars is that the grammatical mistake early in the email completely threw me off. Made me read the rest of that email with a completely different prism.
Did it?
Yes. People, word to the wise.
Yeah.
I'm giving advice today. Life advice with Neil. You've got to get your there proper. You've got to get that right in your email. In correspondence with people, you can't mess that up. You can't mess up two, and two. And for the love of God, it's lose or loose. There is no such thing as a looser. You can make something looser, but there is no looser. You lose the game, you don't lose the game. I am a loser. I am not a looser. And when you mess that stuff up in email form, in any kind of correspondence, the person on the other side immediately judges you. That's your word for the... That's your advice for the day. Good advice.
We need an intro for this, and you get 1 minute in every podcast. Need an intro.
I wouldn't even need a minute. But you're right. It would be a good segment. That is good life advice. And there are people right now that are going, you're a jerk. You're an asshole. But I'm telling you, that is good life advice. Those are 3 or 4 that you just can't mess up.
Other versions of good life advice is to use the flow down option with Community Mortgage. You don't have to get locked into a rate and be stuck in that if rates go down. Instead of Community Mortgage, you lock in that current rate. If rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate. You can find Jason Lowe at 662-234-2704 or Jay Lowe, J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com.
Everybody knows State Farm for being the number one insurer in auto, home, and life insurance. But did you know State Farm has a bank which allows them to do auto financing? Recently, State Farm has had a rate reduction in their commercial insurance rates. Give Romero Miller State Farm a chance to compare your business insurance policies. If you own a rental property, Romero challenges you to give him a shot at that property. You won't be sorry. If you need another reason to give Romero a call, go to Google and enter Romero Miller State Farm in the search engine and then read the reviews and then give Romero a call. If you have insurance needs in Tennessee or Mississippi, 662-893-1212. The The podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you are a business with a high-ticket product or service, HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, etc., Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application with rates as low as 4.9%, terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores down to 580. They will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben at 443-935-5013. Ben is waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings, so call him today. The podcast is also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the past 26 years. I've used Comer for AC repair. You can take my word for it. Their attention to detail, their customer service, and their work is second to none. Comer's an American Standard dealer, but they work on any model, residential or commercial. Customers get same-day service, free estimates on new units, and preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their website, comerheatingandair.com, or check out their Facebook page. Mention you heard about them on the podcast. You get $20 off. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846 or Shane at 662-832-8749.
Now, Jeffrey Wright on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline. Jeffrey, welcome to another day on the show. I see you you got plenty of Twitter love last night from Vol Faithful as Philip Fulmer makes his coaching hire, Jeremy Pruitt, likely to take the Tennessee job today. I surely to God he won't turn it down. And assemble a staff, but an assistant coach getting a job after 25 days of a coaching search, it does not appear that that's a home run to much of anyone, in my opinion.
Yeah, the Twitter love just is kind of a microcosm of our society in a nutshell, because there was no understanding of the point that I made. I made a very simple point in which I quote tweeted Chris Lowe's report about the hiring of Jeremy Pruitt, and I just said simply, they changed ADs to make this hire. And Tennessee fans are so freaking sensitive, because you know you're always sensitive when you're in the wrong, and they're all sensitive. They all jumped all over me. The only point that I was making is any one of the three of us, if we were tasked with hiring a football coach for Tennessee, we could have made that hire. I don't understand why we had to do this whole dog and pony show and this whole power struggle and whatnot. That was the only point I was making.
You know, now that you say that, and we were talking a minute ago, we used a different number. So there have been how many different how many new coaches in the SECs? Seven?
So we have Arkansas. I guess Ole Miss.
Yeah. Let's just start one at a time. Arkansas hires Chad Morris. I could have gotten that done. Chase could have gotten that done. You could have gotten that done.
Yes.
Mississippi State hires Joe Moorhead. The three of us could have gotten that done.
Yes.
Ole Miss hires Matt Luke. The three of us could have gotten that done.
Yes.
Dan Mullen goes to Florida.
The three of us could have gotten that one done.
I think the three of us could have gotten that done. Jimbo Fisher goes to Texas A&M. I don't think the three of us could have gotten that done. I think Woodward's relationship with Fisher was paramount.
$5 million for 10 years. I feel like if I'm sitting there and I have the A&M job, and so it's not like I'm having to spend my own money. Someone said, here's what we're going to pay. And I mean, they literally put $75 million guaranteed in front of Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah, I understand that. What I'm saying to you is his relationship with Scott Woodard is what got the interest going.
Okay, fair enough.
However, in a lot of ways, agents.
No, I'll give Neil's right. Like, okay, that's one.
I don't think we could have gotten his attention in October the way that A&M did.
I saw Dan Wolkin say that Sexton had 11 of the 14 head coaches in the SEC as of this morning. Right. I don't know that it's necessarily about getting deals done for agents. It's what Neil and I were talking about yesterday. It's about putting the entire puzzle together to get the max number done in your category, because Sexton was such the puppet master in this that he was able to move guys into better jobs, get buyouts, get all this, but then also replace them with his own guys. It's more about the puzzle than the deal to me.
I know what you're saying. I don't like the term puppet master with Jimmy, because puppet master implies that he's like Emperor Palpatine. And yes, I'm going to make a Star Wars reference because we've got like 10 days and I'm already fired up. But it implies that he's some type of maniacal genius. And I don't know if you ever met Jimmy. I don't think of Emperor Palpatine when I think of Jimmy. I think he's incredibly good at what he does. But he's blessed with this situation in which he has the largest stockpile of coaches. And when a job comes open, ADs call him. And so at that point, that's kind of when the navigation starts. And I believe Neil made this point last week when we were discussing kind of the whole coaching search. The very first puzzle piece to watch was Jimbo. And when you saw Jimbo take the A&M job, that was a clear indication that Gus Malzahn was going to stay at Auburn, meaning that Jimbo would take A&M, Taggart was going to take Florida State, and you could kind of piece it all together. But I just don't like puppet master, because puppet master implies that like there's way more manipulation that goes on. It's the only business model I've ever seen where one guy bids against himself and sets the market value.
Well, it's kind of the guy with all the real estate in the world. You kind of got to have money to make money. You got to have clients to get more clients. And also, it's not like the universities can't say no. I mean, it's not like he can go into the contract and go, hey, this is what you're signing, by God. I mean, he's able to manipulate it enough where the university comes out thinking they, you know, only got minimally screwed.
Oh, I'm not I hope whatever I just said there was not some type of like indictment Jimmy Sexton, like, because it's not like that's, you're exactly right. Like, that's how you become successful, is that every solid football coach wants to be your client. Like, that is the ultimate like tip of the cap.
Yeah. The fans getting mad at Jimmy Sexton always blows me away, because I say, why are you mad at him?
Well, it's the same thing like with Tubby Smith. Like, for instance, Tiger fans are now ripping Tubby Smith, and it's yet again another case of, I finally identified what drives me the most insane about the job that we have. I cannot stand misplaced blame. Nobody put $3.1 million in front of Tubby Smith and said, you sign this right now. And better yet, Tubby Smith didn't stick a gun in front of Memphis's face and say, you're going to give me $3.1 million. Like, it just blows me away. And now it's all Tubby. This is like, I remember working for both of you, and the day that Memphis hired Tubby Smith, I remember looking at both of y'all, and we were in agreement, like, I don't get that. And if we're thinking that...
They should have hired Andy Kennedy.
Yes.
That's what they were going to do, and that's what they should have done.
Steve Forbes. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, there are plenty of candidates that they could have gotten that would have done a much better job.
The day that he took the job, actually, we had somebody on air, and he was ripping it too. Was it Gaston or somebody? I don't remember who it was. But anyway, doesn't matter.
That seems right.
What do they pay in Norvell in his new extension?
Two and a half.
2.5.
Yeah.
I think it's 5 years. It's 5 years, $13 million. So I guess it's a little shy of 2.5.
Yeah. When you do winners and losers and something, because I have no thoughts for 10 thoughts this weekend. If I do one of the things is going to be winners and losers from the coaching cycle. One of the losers is Mike Norvell. Big loser.
I think it's fair to say. I mean, I don't know of – I can't remember if it was last summer. What year was it, Neil, that you were pointing to that where you basically said you thought this would be the year that all of the – that it would really, really get nutty in the coaching carousel?
It was this one. I thought this one would get crazy, and turns out I was a lucky guess.
This summer or last summer, because I couldn't remember if you were like, if you look at so-and-so like that – they're probably not likely to get fired this year, but I couldn't remember if you did it last summer or this summer. But
I got one of the two right. I thought Jimbo would get out of Florida State, and that would create a mess. And I thought Gus would get fired, so I missed that one.
Yeah, and, I mean, the truth is, Gus almost – I mean, that's the ironic part of it all. I think if they don't win the Iron Bowl, I still think Gus is probably in Arkansas. I mean, there's a reason Arkansas was waiting. I mean, they weren't told no that early.
Twitter, kind of segueing a little bit, Twitter blew up last night as Tennessee and maybe some other programs are kicking the tires on Hugh Freeze as offensive coordinator. I think Austin Price was the first person to mention this, that during Pruitt's interview with Tennessee, he mentioned an offense led by Hugh Freeze. Tennessee did not completely rule that out. I think Clay Travis did some polls and started took it from there and doing what Clay does. Jeffrey, you like the logic thing of when you get in a situation, it's what do you want your opponent to do and hope for they do the opposite, obviously. If you're a fan of an SEC school and Hugh Freeze is the offensive coordinator of your one of your rivals or whatever, what are your thoughts? Are you happy or sad?
If I'm a Georgia fan, I am happy. If I am a Florida fan, I think I'm probably happy. Vanderbilt, I'm not. Kentucky, I'm not. And South Carolina, I think I'm probably happy.
Okay.
Is that, and here's why I say that. The schools where Tennessee is going to be able to get just supremely better athletes, they're going to be okay. But you look at the schools that are going to be built the way that Georgia, Florida, South Carolina primarily will be, that's not a good matchup, because the truth is, we saw this year with Ole Miss. It's weird how the blocking schemes simplified and they weren't Hugh Freeze's blocking schemes anymore. And it's weird how Ole Miss was able to run the football. Isn't that kind of funny, guys?
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. Ole Miss decided to get a little more physical and more.
Or not pull a guard every freaking play.
Yeah, not get so complicated.
Well, a buck sweep doesn't work in the SEC. When you vacate that much space against SEC defensive linemen, you're asking for trouble. And so I don't see Hugh Freeze changing his offense. He believes in it. If I'm someone that's competitive like that, I'm really, really happy, because the other flip side of it is, let's get real here, guys. In my opinion, the two most important recruits of Hugh Freeze's entire tenure at Ole Miss were Bo Wallace and Chad Kelly.
No question about it. No question. Zero question.
And both of those quarterbacks, well, the first one transferred away because of Hugh Freeze from the initial school. And so Hugh gets on campus and gets desperate and goes and gets Bo Wallace. And the other one, up until the November practice of the Egg Bowl week, when the two guys that he identified out of high school as his guys could not get the job done in practice, he was adamant that he was not going to get Chad Kelly. They weren't going to do that. They weren't going to go and get him. They like the guys they have. And then in a moment of desperation, he goes and gets Chad Kelly. Now, I do not take that away from him, because he could have easily not offered Chad Kelly, just like LSU didn't offer Chad Kelly, which is still blows my mind. Like every other school that needed a quarterback, Auburn didn't offer Chad Kelly. Hell, Georgia didn't offer
Chad Kelly. No, it was Virginia Tech, Ole Miss, and Indiana. That was it.
So it was the only SEC school that offered him. But both of those weren't like targets that he identified and pointed out as those are my guys. Like, it's not an identification thing. That was a desperation thing. And I don't think Hugh Freeze, in my opinion, is a great talent evaluator. And so if I'm Tennessee, I understand the intrigue, but I don't see Hugh Freeze turning Jared Garantano into some kind of quarterback that you've got to worry about.
That's where I was going next, was that I don't think Hugh's going to be an offensive coordinator for 3-4 years or anything like that. I think it's a way back into the game, and he does get a head coaching job next year, in my opinion.
I agree with that. Oh, but I don't think it's a long term.
You know, I guess my question though is, you know, that Tennessee program and the roster a lot better than I do. Are they even built at all for a Hugh Freeze offense? Can it work in year one anyway?
They're built fairly similarly. Butch Jones doesn't run that much of they may window dress it a little differently, but I mean, yeah, it's still the same idea blocking scheme wise. So I don't think they're unprepared to run that. But my biggest deal is that, I mean, there's a reason why I'd be surprised if the hire happens. And this is why I'd be surprised if the hire happens. Clearly, Phil Fulmer is having some type of influence in this. And I don't see any way humanly possible that Phil Fulmer is going to sign off on the run game schemes of a Hugh Freeze offense. And truth be told, I don't even see Phil Fulmer signing off on the passing game schemes. I mean, we can make all the Tennessee jokes in the 90s that they want, but I mean, they were running pro stuff. I mean, and those guys, when they got to the NFL, there's a reason why a lot of Tennessee guys became stars in the NFL pretty quickly. And it was more than just talent. It was they were ready to play. And you can't really say the same for the products of Hugh Freeze.
Yeah. It's another subject entirely. The whole quarterback recruiting thing, evaluating quarterbacks at the high school level is it's proving to be very difficult for people. And I understand why. I mean, Rivals misses on a bunch of guys. Colleges miss on a bunch of guys. It's the part with Freeze. I wonder what kind of quarterback evaluator he will be.
I mean, I personally think let's also not even, okay, let's go through all the quarterbacks he signed. All right, Bo, again, we said yet again, desperation, transition, needed a guy. Goes and gets Bo. All right, then the next class, we've got Ryan Buchanan, Devontae Kincaid.
Right.
Yes. Ryan.
Well, they're two. Ryan couldn't handle it at this level. He's a great dude.
And then Kendrick Doss.
A bust. Kincaid was really good at a lower level.
Right. And then in 2015.
It's Chad.
Yes, the Chad. But did he sign a high school kid?
I don't have it in front of me. I'd have to look.
I can't remember.
Oh, yeah. The kid that's playing tight end.
Oh, Pellerin. Yeah. From Pellerin.
Oh, yeah.
Jason
yeah.
Pellerin.
Yeah.
And then Shea.
Alex Faneuil.
Shea, and then yet again, another desperation play, Jordan Tahammit. Had to have somebody.
And I won't indict him on Shea because everybody else wanted Shea, too. But they clearly believed that Shea Patterson was going to be something that he turned out not to be.
Yes, and they're not the only ones.
I'm not gonna throw.
I that was the premise of your argument.
Right.
So I'm not. To me, it's where somehow I got into this rabbit hole last night, guys, and I cannot tell you how I did it, but. I wind up getting in a rabbit hole, and I wanted to go back and watch the guys that are going to be the top picks in this year's draft, high school film, to kind of see, you know, how much did they get better in college? Is that a fair premise?
That's
fair. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There were only two guys, and it's why I stand firm in what I've been saying all along. There were only two guys that I go, they can do the job based on what I saw. Josh Rosen. In high school, was moving defenses with his eyes. He was always throwing on time.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
When the play broke down, he kept his head up. He was still looking downfield, and it was just it was everything that I wanted to see. And then I watched Darnold's, and I it's largely the same thing I've always thought. Darnold has terrific talent. But I've never seen the guy throw on time. I don't like his ability. It's not that he doesn't appear that he can't read coverage. It's just everything is like a step slow. Does that make sense, what I'm
sure,
saying there?
Absolutely.
Like the timing's just off. So I just don't love it. And then Josh Allen's was just kind of, it was so, you know what I mean? Like you could just tell, like, this is a guy that's been the best athlete. It's very similar to Blake Bortles. You could tell. He was just the biggest, best athlete on his team growing up, and he played quarterback just for that reason. You see what I'm saying there? And then Baker Mayfield's is the same thing that I've always thought. When you watch Baker's film, whoever's the head coach at Lake Travis should be tried for crimes, because every time they made Baker Mayfield run the football, that was a wasted down. And you watch – he's so much more decisive. When he's throwing the football, it's everything's on time. And Baker's inaccurate throws are he misses from the left shoulder to the right shoulder or the right hip to the left hip. Like, those are his misses. And so you realize, like, okay, that's what makes Rosen special is the fact that he's a prototype. And the only time Rosen gets himself in trouble is Rosen is playing for a crap team, and Josh Rosen believes in his right arm more than he believes in anything else on this planet. Yeah. And by God, he's not giving up on a play. and he's going to hold on to the very last second, and he gets himself in trouble. That's exactly what Eli Manning did at Ole Miss. I mean, to me, Josh Rosen is a much, not much more, but because Eli's a much better athlete, it's credit, but Rosen is a more athletic Eli Manning to me.
Something you said a second ago, and we always talked about it with Bo and Chad, but really Jordan now too. You give Hugh credit because, like, as you said, he did it and no one else did, but the toughest position on the field to learn and transition to, and he went 3-for-3 in JUCO quarterbacks at times where they had to happen. That is almost impossible from just lucky horseshoe standpoint.
Well, and even furthermore, in a day and age where, I mean, how many other JUCO guys work out? I mean, I guess Riley Ferguson, you'd have to give him credit at Memphis.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, that's always the knock. Oh, when you got to go JUCO quarterback, like, that's – you're dead and done. I do think one thing that would be fascinating to look at, though, is when we started developing, like, the JUCO narrative for quarterbacks that it's – you know, if they're in JUCO for a reason – and now that we're starting to see more and more have success, it is most of the ones that are having success are having successes or having success in spread offenses. And so I do think that when you can get these guys that clearly, like in JUCO, a quarterback, you know, if a guy goes to JUCO for as a quarterback, it's largely because he had the talent but probably didn't have the mental makeup. Now they've put him in offenses and situations where it's less, you know, drop back, make three reads, and, you know, find your check down. It's, hey,
oh, it's
one read,
shoot.
Let's go. Yeah.
Take a break in our conversation with Jeffrey to tell you the podcast brought to you in part by Tyson Drugs, TysonDrugs.com. They've got the sildenafil. It is a $10 version of that $50 or $60 little blue pill. Same length of effectiveness and gets you ready in as little as 15 minutes. Give them a call, 662-252-2321, or when you go to TysonDrugs.com, fill out the form online. Give him your doctor's name, look at the prescription ready, and deliver it to you if you are not local. So, again, TysonDrugs.com, 662-252-2321.
Podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. If you are in the market for a residence or a condo in Oxford, Harry's the place to go. He's a REMAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market better than he does. It's HarryAlexander.com. Send him an email, ha@HarryAlexander.com. Podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, that is the place to go as well. It's just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, Mississippi, a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissans. Great lease deals, fantastic service after the sale. Gene and Sandy have been friends of mine and of this site and of our family of podcasts for a long time. I've bought from them on numerous occasions. It's just a great experience. You should give it a shot if you are in the market for a Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Registration was today, the 7th. Registration through the 15th of December. So you got a week and a day if you want to play. I should say if your child wants to play spring soccer out at Oxford Park Commission. It's a great program. Runs February through April. If you played in the fall, you can rejoin your current team for $30. If you didn't play in the fall but you want to play in the spring, you can. $55. Registration gets you on a team ages 5 to 16, boys and girls, games played at FNC Park. It's OxfordParkCommission.com.
Now back to our conversation with Jeffrey Wright. So, I don't know. Just, I mean, Tomo is not really in the other category because the other two guys were at least Division I signees out of high school. But, I don't know. Nonetheless, hitting that 3-for-3 is fairly fascinating because if, you know, Kelly or Bo, if one of those guys don't pan out, that is a completely different tenure for Hugh Freeze.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
it's total failure is what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I was laughing with a buddy actually earlier this morning. You know, if Barry Brunetti's the quarterback, and I love Barry, that's one of my boys, but I mean, guys, they didn't let him throw out of the Wildcat. Mm-hmm. And he was a quarterback on the roster.
Are you surprised that now that Ole Miss apologized to Houston Nutt and all that's been cleared up, he still can't get a gig? What are people waiting on? I don't understand.
That's kind of the other thing, though, about Hugh Freeze for me, guys. Like, there's a lot of similarities between Hugh Freeze and Houston Nutt for me.
Oh, they're everywhere.
Lots of them. And even statistically. Like, you look at when you look at both's records against, you know, major conference football, the points are about the same. The point margins roughly the exact same. It's just one was packaged a little better.
A little bit on Tennessee, as we were discussing Hugh Freeze earlier. Jeremy Pruitt is bringing his Bama roommate Will Friend from Colorado State. Or no, sorry, not the OC of Colorado State. Is his offensive line coach at Tennessee. So that Will Friend, offensive line coach, still no OC yet for Pruitt, according to Bruce Feldman.
He was going to be part of the Ole Miss Jeremy Pruitt staff that, yeah, that they tried to sell for 2 months.
Pruitt, I mean, Friend was coming with Pruitt wherever Pruitt was going. So
can we discuss my favorite offensive coordinator of all time that's now available?
Who, Kurt?
Yeah. Huh? What, are the rumors still out there?
Just because of association. I've heard nothing concrete.
I think he's gonna
need that I'm coming home video.
I think that Luke's gonna hang on to Longo for at least another season.
I think if Jordan Tahamu is your quarterback, that is the 100% right call.
Yeah, it is. I agree with that. You don't make Tahamu go through another system change right now.
I think it's 100% the right call.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'll go there. All right. So is Eli starting again Sunday? What are we doing with the Giants?
He's starting again. So
glad they broke that streak over one game so they could lose.
I think the quote of the weekend was, I believe it was Evan Washburn was the sideline reporter on the CBS broadcast, but he spoke with Del Rio before the half. Like, they, you know, in those games, they don't do like the actual TV interview. They just talk to the guy and then he reports on it. And he told Jack Del Rio told Washburn, when we found out that Geno Smith was starting, we were thrilled because he's the inferior quarterback. So it turns out Geno Smith, not the answer to all the Giants' problems.
Who do you want as head coach?
Well, I mean, obviously, like, my pipe dream is I want the I'm coming home video for Sean Payton. But
okay. Stop.
I mean, who's the last coach to? It's Gruden, right? Is Gruden the last one to not be fired and get a gig? Like the one last one to leave an NFL gig for another NFL gig?
Yeah, I can't think of anything since then. I always thought Peyton might go to Dallas. I never thought New York was possible.
You know, he coached there for a while, and that's always the Giants' like MO. They want someone who's been in the franchise and then went away and then comes back home.
I mean, the worst thing for you in that dream is that the Saints are actually good this year.
I know.
Had they not been good, you might have had that.
Yeah, I mean, I always kind of held off, like, because I thought there was a chance the last time the job came open. And then when you realized that they were going to hire coordinators, you realized no actual good head coach wanted anything to do with Jerry Reese and the roster management. So what's interesting to me is, do they hire GM first, or do they, you know, or maybe they're trying to package a play and, you know, give somebody full control. I don't like that method, but I know it didn't work out exactly the first time, but I don't think Josh McDaniels is the worst, like fallback option.
Okay.
I mean, that guy did go at one point. He started 6-0 with Mr. Sex himself, Kyle Orton. Like, that is pretty impressive. Like, and he does the things that I like from a coach, in which he doesn't really have a system. He kind of figures out, what do I have? And then he week to week tinkers and tries to figure out what the best way to win a game is. So I don't hate that. To me, though, the biggest question is, what do they do for GM? Because the thoughts are, and his name escapes me, who's the guy that the Panthers fired this year, kind of like unannounced?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't remember his name, but yeah, I remember that.
He was a Corsi's assistant GM, or he was in the Giants organization forever. So there's thoughts that he comes back and takes over. And I'm actually good with that because I love how the Panthers built their team. The problem with that is he's going to hire a football guy.
Dave Gettleman.
He's going to get a Ron Rivera type, you know, a football guy. And so I'm not wild about that.
Yeah, Dave Gettleman is the name you're looking for.
Gettleman, yeah.
So, Eli Manning is the quarterback where next year?
Feels like he's still going to be a Giant. I think it's the betting favorite. I don't bank on it.
So they take a quarterback at three, though, right?
Well, I'm hoping they go at two.
Okay.
Here's the problem. Are we all in agreement that the Browns are going to take Rosen?
I don't know. If Rosen is sitting there for the Giants, you take Josh Rosen.
No questions asked. Sign, still deliver. That's all I want.
I also want to see him in New York with his attitude and personality. I need that.
Right, because then, the problem is for the Giants with picking two, you have so many deficiencies from a roster perspective. I don't believe in Sam Darnold. And if the Browns take Darnold one and you can take Rosen, by all means. I don't believe in Darnold. You need so much more help. I would see if I could acquire some assets and move back down. And then I'd take Baker at 12. Although, Calkins has gotten me on this new move of who cares? You know what I mean? If you don't have a quarterback, you can't win. So this idea of trying to, if you don't have a quarterback that you like and building before he gets there, it doesn't matter. And so his whole point is you keep taking quarterbacks. And until you find the quarterback, you keep taking more quarterbacks. And my deal is if Rosen goes one and the Giants, there's no way they'll do it. The Giants are too conservative of an organization. But if they took Baker two, I'm not pissed. Because if you don't have a quarterback for the future, it doesn't matter anyway.
But that's my question. If you're going to take, let's say you take Rosen, let's say you take Darnold, let's say you take Baker, whoever.
Sure.
Whoever they decide on, that's their guy. They're going to spend 4 months overanalyzing the living hell out of it like every other NFL team does. When they take one of them,
you're excited for April.
Do you sit that guy behind Eli for a year, or do you go ahead and get a third-round pick for Eli Manning?
Oh, if I can get anything for Eli, I'm trading him. I just don't know.
Yeah, I don't think he's worth even that.
I don't think you can get a third-round pick with that contract.
No. So who's a team, though? Let's play this out. Who's a team that –
The Jaguars make the most sense. I mean, I've been on this train. Chase, how long have I been on?
Yeah, a long time, and you're right.
And you're not the only one. I mean, a lot of people that have followed your lead. So if you're Jacksonville – if Jacksonville had Eli Manning at quarterback today, how much better are they?
They're Super Bowl contender.
Well, then why is he not worth a fourth-round pick?
Contract.
Yes. The way the NFL works, they won't do it.
The problem with just saying, all right, let's fantasy trade him to Jacksonville. If Eli's on that roster, they are a Super Bowl contender. The problem is, I don't know if they have that exact same roster if Eli Manning's their quarterback because of the contract. I don't think they'd be able to have all the funny fast.
Bortles to Arizona.
Ooh, I don't hate that. Can we also, hey, quick, guys.
Yeah.
Let me take a moment of silence. I think we finally hit the end of the road with Coach Arians. So can we just a quick moment?
Yeah, it's done. It was fun while it lasted. Memories.
I loved it. I loved every.
Should I be? I'm a little freaked out about tonight. The Saints are losing at Atlanta tonight, right?
Well, it's a Thursday night game, and Thursday night games this whole year, with the exception of the Ravens Dolphins game. Went to script, but most of these games have whatever should happen, the opposite has happened.
Okay.
So you're right. The Saints, who I told you on Sunday, because I watched that was, I'm so battered as a fan right now. In fact, it was actually my protest. I moved the Giants to TV3 on Sunday, and TV1 was the Panthers and Saints. And oh boy, shout out to Butch Jones for just keeping Alvin Kamara fresh for the NFL because it's a good thing. You know, it just goes to show that it is easier to play running back and dominate in the NFL than it is in college.
Yeah, it didn't take me long to love him.
Holy cow.
It was quick. He's also complimenting Ingram, where Ingram can actually find some holes and be productive. It's good. I'm happy
right
now.
It is kind of strange how now that the Saints have put together a running game to go with one of the most accurate passers of all time. It is weird how now they look invincible.
They get Lattimore back tonight. He's going to play.
We're going to do this on the Beer Garden some today, but they're obviously not invincible. Who are the teams in the NFC realistically that can win the Super Bowl?
Okay, so I do not. I had this conversation with Jason Cole this week. Neither one of us believe in Minnesota, and he's a much smarter human being than I am.
Agreed.
Neither one of us believe in Minnesota because there's just – I'm sorry. I know he's played well, but there's no way you can say that Case Keenum is going to win not only a divisional playoff game, but then a conference championship game and then a Super Bowl.
Well, it's the Andy Dalton argument.
And so you can't say that. All right, so then we look at the Eagles.
Are we worried that Philadelphia only has one win against a winning record team?
I'm 100% because it was my argument against Dallas all last year.
Yeah.
Although I'm so hurt. It does not appear that I'm going to be blessed with the opportunity to bet against Dallas again in the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't think they're getting in. I think you're out of luck there. No, I agree. Something about Philadelphia, other than the fact that weather could help them late.
I will say this.
Yeah.
The argument with Dallas last year was they haven't beaten really good teams, and dude doesn't have the arm to make plays in a playoff game. Wentz does have the arm to make plays in a playoff game.
Oh, I agree that my problem with Wentz is...
I mean, Prescott in his wildest dream is as good as Carson Wentz.
Yes. Yeah, like if Dak has like the ideal man version of himself, it's Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
Like bigger,
more athletic, cannon for an arm.
Yes. But the issue that I'm having with Philly is they are very much running a college offense, and we've always seen, and it takes the NFL a little while to figure it out. But I'm really gonna start watching them the next 3 or 4 weeks because I think Seattle kind of exposed them. And I get it, Seattle's defense is Seattle's defense, but let's not be real. Let's get real here. The Seahawks have not looked like the Legion of Boom this year much at all.
Yeah, I would have put myself in an institution in August saying this. In the NFC, I think the two teams built the best for the playoffs are the Saints and the Rams.
Here's the one thing. Jason Cole made a great point though. Do y'all remember what it was? Do y'all remember last year, late in the year, when Jared Goff had to throw in cold weather?
He didn't have a lot of experience with that.
It wasn't good. And well, it's not good because he has Jeffrey Wright syndrome. He has very small hands.
And the thing is, they have to go to Philadelphia and or Minnesota potentially.
Yes. Now, I mean, Minnesota, you're in a dome, you're cool. But man, that really did scare me. But you're right. Athletically, the Rams up front murder you. Like Aaron Donald is God. I don't even know what you do to block him because he's small. Like he's quote unquote undersized for a defensive tackle because he's only like 285 pounds. But he's 285 pounds and like 2% body fat, and he's quick and explosive. So you can't really double team him because he just shoots through the gap. And then he's strong enough to take on everything one-on-one. I don't even know how you block him. I don't even know like what you're supposed to do to account for him.
The Rams need somebody to fall off and let the Saints or the Rams get that second spot.
Yeah, they need to get the second spot. I mean, to me, like when I look at the NFC, I still believe you have to go down to the teams that, in my opinion, have guys that we believe in at quarterback. All right. I believe in the Saints. I hate to say it, man. I believe in the Panthers. I know they didn't look great on Sunday, but man, Chase, who's looked good in the dome this year? Who's come into the dome and looked good?
The best guy quarterback wise that looked good was Kirk Cousins.
And
Washington played well that day.
He did look good that day.
Yeah.
They played well for what, 3.5 quarters?
Yeah. Uh huh.
So, I mean, To me, that's kind of where I am.
But I don't like them to win 3 road games in a row.
I don't think so, but if I told you Cam went nuts on 3 road games and drove everyone insane.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, that's kind of the biggest problem is, where are these road games? I believe Cam can go up to Minnesota. And like, I think Cam as a wild card could go to L.A. and beat the Rams. I believe if Cam then turned around and went to Minneapolis and beat the Vikings, I could believe that. Then
he'd go to Philadelphia or New Orleans.
Yeah. I mean, to me, the most interesting question is Seattle going to be a wild card? Like, the NFC is so interesting right now because The other thing is, I don't think they're close enough, but man, the Packers are kind of lurking. And if they get in the tournament and they've got Aaron Rodgers, holy hell.
Talk about scaring the hell out of the Saints or the Rams in round one.
Yeah. I mean, you got
you could get Breeze Rodgers in the dome in round one.
Congratulations. Well earned.
Yeah, no kidding.
Hey, that's what you get for winning, probably at that point, winning 13 games.
Well, I mean, we are the 11-5 team that got to go to the 7-9 Seahawks a few years ago, so that was fun.
Parham's
back to we on the Saints, by the way.
Yeah.
He's back to we.
I've never really gotten off the Saints bandwagon. Now, if I do that with the Braves in July, just beat the hell out of me, okay? But
yeah, if the Braves are sitting 30 games above 500 at the All-Star break, then we're going to have a...
And all of a sudden, Parham's like, yeah, we're really doing well.
What? Huh? Yeah. Name the infield. Go.
Chipper Jones.
Yeah.
It's the move that I do to people that say they're Cardinals fans. Who's a shortstop?
Yeah, Walt Weiss is still there, right?
Even a tough one. It's like, who's played short?
Yeah. Ramirez is a short. Yeah.
All right. Real quick, last thing. I know you got to go. What is the kind of the take in Memphis? Are they admitting that Norvell has issues somewhere that's preventing this, or are they just the luckiest city on the face of the earth?
That would be the latter.
Okay, fair. Good enough.
Y'all be good guys.
Bye.
All right, bye. Thanks to Jeffrey for joining us on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline. The podcast is also brought to you by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape, full-service lawn maintenance and landscape company serving Oxford, Tupelo, and the surrounding area. Don't forget to get a quote from MasterCuts if you're ready to build that fence, stone patio, deck, or any other outdoor living area, including outdoor kitchens and more. You see the MasterCuts signs all over town and see the work they're doing to clear fences and make your yard look better. You give them a call at 662-607-7773. Or MasterCutsLawn.com.
Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. Right now, OUB is offering one-year CDs, 1.75% APY, three-year triple option CDs paying 2.01% APY. With the three-year term, customers can deposit once during the term, withdraw once during the term, and or bump the rate if OUB's three-year rate rises. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. Ole Miss Volleyball is on a roll. They won their sixth straight home game to advance to the Final Four of the women's NIVC postseason tournament. That is in, I'm going to look that up right now. I think that is in Oxford at the Gillum Center on Saturday. Let me see if I can get you a time.
They play West Virginia, I think.
I am almost positive that that is right. Let's see. Volleyball. Looking for some volleyball news. I know this is not great pod. Here it is. They play West Virginia at 4:30 on Saturday at the Gillum Center. So good luck to Stephen McRoberts and his team there. I think tickets are $5 at the gate. So go out. You can support them. The women play Saturday afternoon at 1 against South Alabama at the Pavilion. The men are in Murfreesboro on Saturday to play Middle Tennessee.
The women, I think, got votes in the top 25 this week. The volleyball team's been on a pretty good run, including beating Georgia, I believe, in their last match to get to this point.
They're 7-1. The women are
7-1. They lost the opening game in whatever tournament they were in a couple weeks ago. I don't know where that was, but wherever it was, they lost their opening game there, won the second one, and then have not lost since. The men play at Middle. I saw Florida lost at least optically a bad game last night. I think it was a top 100 team, but they lost to someone last night.
Yeah, I was on the treadmill, and I saw some of that game, but I was watching – warning, NBA reference. I was watching Warriors and Hornets, so the Florida game was kind of on in the distance. Surprised they lost. I figured they would win.
Warriors and Hornets.
Yep.
Okay. Hornets good.
They're okay.
Are they okay?
Got their ass kicked last night.
Well, you know.
The Durant guy's kind of good.
Have your boys played better? Are you turning it around or what?
They're 11-12. There are some signs of improvement. They won three in a row.
Are they going to miss the playoffs?
No, they'll make the playoffs. It's early still.
23 games in. They've got 59 regular season games left. They play in Mexico City tonight.
Why?
Because Brooklyn and Oklahoma City are playing in Mexico City tonight as part of an NBA deal.
They overthink these things.
Major League Baseball is talking about expansion, and the cities that they have targeted are Montreal and Mexico City.
Okay.
Do you know that Mexico City has like a massive out there, like very high? It's like a huge, like very high altitude, higher than Denver.
No.
Air's gonna be pretty thin.
Okay.
Whee!
Whatever. I don't like it. I grew up with a Marty in Canada, so that's okay. I get it. I'm used to that.
So you want to build a wall? Is that what you're saying?
I don't like change. I don't want to put a football team in London, and I don't want to put a baseball team in Mexico City. Give Montreal their stupid team back. As long as they bring back those uniforms.
Would Mexico City be an attractive free agent destination? Because a lot of Latin players might want to play there, right?
It's possible. Maybe.
Like, dudes are never going to flock to Montreal.
No. Do they speak English or French in Montreal?
Both. But it's primarily French.
It's primarily French?
I believe so.
I don't know how that works. It's not my area.
I've never been to Mexico. I've never been to Canada. No. I've only been to Tijuana.
I've been to Cabo, Cancun, a couple other places in Mexico. Never been to Canada.
I'd be curious to see Mexico City. I mean, I would. I'd be curious to see what it's like.
Okay.
Wouldn't want to live there. If I become a Major League Baseball player, that's not where I'm going to sign.
I mean, the PGA Tour puts a lot of They put a few tournaments overseas in different places.
They had one in India recently, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. That's where that big snake was that we showed you on the green. Remember?
Yeah.
You'd skip that one.
Yeah, I'm just going to tell you, if there's a big snake on one of the greens next week, yeah. I'm out.
It won't be this time of year.
Good, because I'll be out.
Yeah. We have the two people chosen that will be playing alongside Neil next week. Should be fun. Glad we got that. Again, you can still donate directly at our St. Jude page up on the board. I've tweeted it out. It's on our Facebook page. And if you're pledging, email me. Give me the amount per shot that you're willing to pledge. I'll add you to my spreadsheet, and then you can add the money to the St. Jude page once we know Neil's hopefully incredibly high score next week. So December 13th, we're going to tee off, and we'll see how Neil does. He needs to practice. We've got about a week left to get to that point. So
Brett Dawson is in Mexico City. He covers the Thunder for the Oklahoman.
Yep.
He takes a picture from the back of an Uber. He says this photo doesn't do justice to the scene. Cars sometimes try to merge onto the expressway in twos side by side, and you can't go a minute without a motorcycle darting through the space between the lanes. That would make me nervous. The traffic in Mexico City looks...
That would actually be enough to make me not move there.
The traffic looks awful.
So you're saying we should take people from Oxford and just drop them in the middle of Mexico City and say, drive and see what happens? And I get every town thinks they have the worst drivers. I understand that.
Yeah. What Oxford has that drives me insane is the four-way stops where everyone just looks at each other. And you're like, just someone go.
But then you start to go and they start to go. And then they start, and then you get the...
Just go.
It's the merging on and off lanes is worse for me. When the guy just stops on the off ramp because he can't merge on.
That up here at Industrial, it's the worst.
Oh, yeah, because they don't take the right. They stop at the stop sign.
They stop
right
at the
there.
Stop sign, and there's like a car a mile away, and they're like, I can't go now. It's like, just go down the thing and merge in with the.
There's traffic, Neil.
Oh, my God.
There's not room.
I always want to drop those people off in like Houston or Chicago or Dallas and go. 10 minutes, have fun. That's so mean. But I do. That's what I think to myself is I want to drop them off.
Atlanta or Dallas, worse.
Ooh. Very similar.
Yeah.
Very similar.
I think Atlanta has worse rush hours.
Houston's the one that I guess can't stand it.
I didn't drive anywhere in Houston. I flew in and Ubered everywhere I went.
Yeah.
Atlanta's probably worse than Dallas.
That was the good thing about where that park is in Houston is I could stay a couple blocks away in a hotel and you had anything you needed right there within 3 blocks. It wasn't a big deal.
What's Dylan say about Dallas traffic?
He doesn't mention it much, so it must – you know, he's living pretty close to SMU. He's kind of staying in Highland Park or right there on the edge of it, so he hadn't really had to deal with that a whole lot. I know he probably Ubers into, like, toward American Airlines and for games and different things. I'm not sure he drives. Although he did drive, you know, he covered the Celtics-Mavericks a few weeks ago, and I know he drove down for that. But his biggest thing was going early enough to miss a certain level of rush hour just from an ability to get there in time standpoint. You had to kind of either go really, really early or be late. There was no just go at normal time because of the traffic. But anyway, saw pictures of Chad Morris being jetted to Fayetteville last night.
Yeah.
He arrived. So SMU and the need for a football coach. I've got one at Florida Atlantic that I'd have in mind if I were the AD there at SMU.
Lot of talk in Chicago today, a little bit about Lance Lynn and the Cubs. The following is not an Ole Miss statement. I'm a little concerned that Lance has ridden the arm to a place where the fastball is not going to have the same giddy.
Because it's got to be great. Fastball has to be great for Lance.
Yeah, if his fastball is not great, he's going to get hit by major league hitters. Lance has had one hell of a major league career.
Yes.
This is not a criticism of Lance Lynn. As a Cub fan, I'm a little concerned about giving Lance Lynn a 4-year deal.
Yeah, makes sense. All right, we will have plenty of coverage at Rebel Grove for anything that pops today. We will talk with Ryan Brown, I assume, tomorrow, so stay locked in for that. And we'll tell you what happens as we get to it. Talk to you tomorrow.